Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 46. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of this kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
The Lord Jesus Christ said here, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." We thank you for these words of the Lord Jesus. And we ask this morning that you will enable us to listen well and to be good soil for the seed of the words. And as we listen, please use your words to give us right understanding of you, the true and living God. Use your word to teach us to understand your great purposes and plans. And use your word, please, to encourage and strengthen us in the Lord Jesus. And these things we ask in his name. Amen. Well, as I'm sure many of you know, and it's fairly obvious, when we set about doing something, it's very important that we have right expectations. Setting right expectations for any project, for any course of action, is important if we are to fulfill the task. Any worthwhile project will face difficulties, some foreseen, others not. All projects will have major setbacks. But of course, a great project is usually worth it in the end. Imagine being a young soldier on those landing craft on the morning of June the 6th, 1944, heading for the beaches of Normandy. I'm sure that none of those troops were expecting it to be easy. They will have been prepared. But I hope they will have been told that it would have been worth it. They were part of something huge, a driving back of liberating France and driving back an enemy. Sailing there, but knowing it would be very difficult, but very worthwhile. To be able to function properly in any struggle, we need to have realistic expectations, and of course to know that it's worth it. Well, in chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus is speaking about how things will play out with his kingdom. You may have noticed that I think it's five times in the reading that Yinka brought us a moment, we have the expression, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this. You see, God had promised a king who would bring in a great kingdom, a kingdom into this dark world. He had promised that he would bring the whole world under the rule of his great king. The king would rule with justice. The kingdom would be one of glory and peace. And the king had arrived. Jesus had arrived. The kingdom was at hand. And in his first great teaching session in Matthew 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught the shape of kingdom living. He's taught about what sort of people will be in the kingdom, and then he's taught how they are to live. In the second great teaching session in Matthew 10, he has prepared his disciples, his kingdom people, for mission. And now in this third great teaching block, he gives an overview of how the kingdom will spread and how the kingdom will work. He is giving us kingdom expectations, teaching as well the big picture of how the kingdom will advance. And Jesus gives us key, previously hidden information. He gives us that information in the form of parables. There in 34 and 35, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. This is quoting Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. As Jesus speaks out these parables, God is speaking, revealing things that have been hidden since the beginning of the world. He is revealing this information, this vital information, about how things will work, about how the kingdom will advance. Already in Matthew 13, we have seen that the kingdom will spread through the words. There will be a number of responses to that word. It will not all be plain sailing. Some will hear it, accept it, and produce a fruit, but many will hear it and not respond positively. The word will be sown, but many will prove to be poor soil. And now in these parables we're going to look at, by the way, we won't be looking at the last two that we had read to us a moment ago. As the parables look at this morning, we will see two more key aspects of how it will be with the kingdom. Firstly, we need to be realistic. We need to be realistic. The people of the kingdom will live alongside sin and evil until the end of the age. The people of the kingdom will live alongside sin and evil until the end of the age. Or to put it another way, everything will be sorted out at the end of the age, but not before. And we see this in the parable of the weeds. Let's have a look at it again, verses 24 to 30, if you're following in your Bibles. Jesus, in this parable, takes us out into the fields again, to the fields of a landowner. at the field, singular. The man sows good seed in his field. But he has an enemy. Someone who does not like him. Someone who does not like what he is doing. And so when everyone is asleep, the enemy sows a whole lot of weeds in amongst the good seeds. A little later, the crop begins to grow, and lo and behold, there are weeds there in the crop as well. Probably not the kind of weeds that we have, maybe something that looked a little closer to the crop that was being grown there. The servants are baffled. What's going on? Left scratching their heads. They ask the owner, hang on, didn't you put good seed out there? Where did these weeds come from? They don't know what's going on here. The owner knows it was an enemy. What are they going to do? Well, shall we pull the weeds up now? The servants want to sort it out right now. They want the weeds pulled up now. They want it sorted out now. No, says the owner. If we pull the weeds, the crop won't be able to grow. If we call in the bad now, that's it for the good crop. We are going to leave them to grow together. They will both grow. They will both be allowed to grow until the final harvest. And on that day, and it's interesting to note the order of things as he tells the parable, the weeds will be collected first and burned, and then the good crop will be gathered in. But what does all this mean? What point or points does Jesus want to make to us from this parable? Well, the disciples would like to know as well. So when they get back inside, they ask for an explanation. And in verses 36 there to 43, we get an from 37 to 43, we get an explanation. Jesus tells us what the parable is. He's spoken it to the crowds. They say, what's that about? He tells them. The good seed has been sown by the Son of Man, that is Jesus. These are the people of the kingdom. Notice, please, verse 38. The field is the world. The field in which he's sowing is the world. Many have read that as the church. Many commentators suggest it's about the church and that you get this mixed crop in the church. Now, that is almost certainly going to be true. We know that from the parable of the weeds. There'll be people who are professing to belong to God but don't prove to be the real thing. Yes, but that's not what this parable is about. The field is the world. It's about living in the world. Well, the good seed is the people who belong to the kingdom, those who belong to Jesus, and the weeds are the people of the evil one. The devil has been at work. Not for the first time, of course, in this chapter. We've seen that with the seed that fell on the path. And then we have a number of verses. So the two grow together, the people of the kingdom, the people who belong to the evil one. And then we have a number of verses focusing on the process at the end. There's a lot of emphasis here on what happens at the end. It is at the end of the age when Jesus returns and sends out to do his work of harvesting that the evil ones are dealt with. There will be a great pulling up of weeds. Verse 40, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, everything that causes to stumble, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Are you listening? There will be a great pulling up of the weeds from Jesus' kingdom. I think he's speaking here of the kingdom in terms of his total rule, the new thing that he is bringing in. and he will remove all that causes to sin, all that causes to stumble, and all who have rejected him and rejected his rule and his law. There will be a great weeding out on the last day and a casting into the fire. A blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of pain, of distress, of regret, of loss. The reality of eternal separation from God. Again, Jesus in love speaks about the reality of hell. And the righteous, picking up on, I think, Daniel 12, 2 and 3, will shine in the kingdom of their Father, in a world which has been rid of evil and those who practice evil. Let's just take a moment to reflect on all of this for a moment. There are, aren't there, a number of really important implications for us to shape our expectations of this life, of life in this world, and of course, life in the world to come. The first and obvious point, and I think I just want to just say this as we look at this passage, is that there is a sense here, and we need to know this as we lead the Christian life and not go mad, is the kingdom is here and yet is yet to come. To understand the Bible and to understand the Christian life, we need to know that there is a now and a not yet. The kingdom is already here, but is not yet. The kingdom has come. We are entering the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. We are under the loving rule of the king. The kingdom is being built, and yet the final kingdom is to come. It's really important to see that, and that comes out in the Gospels. The kingdom is here, yet the kingdom is yet to come. We have been saved, and we will be saved. The kingdom is an already and a not yet phenomena. And Jesus wants us to be clear that in this period, in this age, we will coexist with sin and evil. That does not mean that we are to be indifferent to sin and injustice. What we have been given here is just realistic expectations of the already but not yet. Implications for us. Do not be surprised by the presence of sin and evil. Don't be surprised by the presence of sinful and evil people. Don't be surprised at those who cause to sin. Don't be surprised at those who disregard God's ways. That is what we are to expect. That is where we live in this age. In our towns, in our families, in our workplaces. And remember, of course, that Satan is active as well. Don't be surprised at the presence of evil and rebellion. And flowing from that, we are to grow in Christ and to serve Christ in the midst of a rebellious world. A world that is marked by sin and evil. We cannot build a safe world in this world. We can't have a place where there's a perfect government. We cannot escape and find a little haven. Jesus doesn't want us to run away, put up the barricades. This is the world in this age in which we must serve him. And I wonder as well, as we read this, we've just got to be realistic. I don't think it's right to say that we will be able to Christianize the world in the sense. Yes, we'll talk about kingdom growth in a moment. We need to be realistic. We will not Christianize all the world. And I think that's worth saying. It'd be unrealistic to think that we're going to get rid of all evil before the return of Christ. And to think so, I think, can leave us getting very frustrated and maybe doing things that are not helpful. I'll leave you to reflect on that. So it's realistic about this world. And it's on the last day. It is at the judgment that those who have caused others to stumble, those who have promoted sin, those who have ignored God, those who have rebelled, that's when they will be dealt with. And he wants us to be absolutely clear on that. Speaks so clearly, doesn't he? On that, even if we don't like it, that is when it will happen. So we have seen the need here, as we looked at the parable of the weeds, to be realistic. The people of the kingdom will live alongside sin and evil until the end of the age. But secondly, we are to be optimistic. We are to be optimistic. You see, despite its small beginnings, the kingdom will grow and have a great impact. And we need to hold both of those together, the realism and the optimism. You see, I think these parables all belong together. And it's interesting to see the way the passage is structured. In the middle of the parable of the weeds, we have two other parables. He doesn't give an explanation for them. We have the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. And you see, Jesus in these parables that lie between the giving of the parable of the weeds and its explanation, and in the next parable, he takes us back into the field of another man and the planting of the mustard seed. And Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man planted. And what is the point here? Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch on its branches. Small beginnings to become a large plants, so large the birds can come and settle in it. Now, we're not given any details. Jesus, in that sense, doesn't give an explanation for this parable. But I think it is reasonable to see in here just that small beginnings of the kingdom itself. There is Jesus, his 12 disciples, the other men and women, a group of maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, reaching up to 120. It was starting very small. And Jesus is telling there the disciples and the crowds that it would become very big and would become a place where others could come in and settle. Birds can rest. Maybe that's a reference to the Gentiles coming in. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I take such encouragement from looking at Operation World as it goes country to country to country to country. And even in some countries, yes, the church is very small. And yes, there are unreached people groups, and we need to be praying and longing to reach those groups. Yet there's been a remarkable growth of the church over 2,000 years, such that there are believers in pretty much every country of the world. Extraordinary growth from this tiny beginnings. So in one sense, we have seen this being worked out. And it gives us confidence going forward. As the church has grown, well, it will continue to grow and to gather and to bring people in. We can be confident of that. So we're seeing here from Reasons for Optimism, it will grow, it will bring many in. And for our third parable this morning, we are heading from the fields into the kitchen to learn from a woman who is making bread. A small amount of yeast has an impact on a large amount of dough. About 30 kilograms per so of dough is the thing here. That's 60 plus big loaves. And the key points of this parable there in 33 is the yeast is hidden. The yeast is mixed in. In one sense, it can't be seen, yet it is very powerful. Just working quietly, silently, transforming, without a big song and dance, it just powerfully works. Quietly works, mixed in, to transform. The gospel will come, and without people seeing great banners or anything, or it looking like a kingdom is arriving, there will be a transformation. That yeast will impact. It's been wonderful on Sunday evenings to hear the testimonies of people who have come to Christ. It's wonderful to hear their stories. They come to Christ, and slowly but surely their lives get transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Without a great song and dance, without anyone really noticing, the kingdom just works to transform. We see it working in church communities as they're drawn together. And the word just works and transforms into loving, into holy communities. Without a great song and dance, it just works quietly, powerfully, transforming. So what are our expectations as we serve the King and his kingdom in this world, in this age? What is happening at a kind of high level in our worlds? Well, yes, we need to be realistic. We will live alongside sin and evil in this age. But it will be sorted out when the kingdom comes, the day of the great weeding out, when all sin will be dealt with, and those who are in Christ will shine in the Father's kingdom. And we're to be optimistic. The kingdom will grow, will draw many in, and will have a profound impact across this world. And as we close, maybe you're not yet a believer. Well, being part of this kingdom is open to you. The age is allowed to run on so that the kingdom can grow and people come in and be saved. The judgment is held back so that if you, an individual here this morning or listening in on the live stream, have not yet put your faith in Jesus, not change sides and come over into the kingdom, everything's been held back to give you that opportunity to come in. And I would urge you to do that today. Change sides. Come to Christ for forgiveness. Admit you've been a rebel. Say that you do not want to face the judgment on the last day and ask for his forgiveness and transforming power in your life. And you are joining something really big, really, really big, with the most wonderful leader and king who is working out his great plans and will return in glory. And if you believe, well, we haven't got time to duck down to those other parables, but you have the pearl of great price. You have the treasure. You belong to the kingdom. You have Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Rejoice. Keep being transformed by his word. And don't be discouraged. The kingdom is coming, and it will come. God is working out his purposes now. Keep serving him until that great day. Let's pray. I will open my mouths in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Father, we thank you for these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing how it will be with your kingdom in this age. As we live alongside evil and know that as well as sin in our own hearts, and look forward to that returning glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, where with his angels he will weed out all evil. We thank you for this word that gives us realism about what it will be like in this age. But we thank you for this word that gives us optimism, knowing that your kingdom will grow. Lord, please renew our vision to serve you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in holiness and in good deeds. And Lord, as we gather as your people, we want to renew our commitment to serving you as we respond to the amazing grace that you have granted us in Christ, the cleansing and the gift of the Spirit, the adoption and being brought into this family and into this wonderful kingdom. Strengthen us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Lord, be my vision. Let's renew our commitment to serve our great King as we go from here, and we'll stand to sing.
Peace.
may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.